It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Boy, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Seen the story of this guy that's suing an Eagles player for seducing his wife? How can you sue a guy? Like, what? Why don't you sue your wife?
Yeah, why don't you?
I don't know. Like, I don't get it.
I was reading about it. This is the thing about the states. You've got 50 different laws and rules and regulations and constitutions. And
this guy is claiming that the Eagles player seduced his wife.
Right.
And he's suing him.
Because in his state, you're allowed to sue a guy who seduces your wife.
But how are you going to prove he seduced your wife?
Simple. Text messaging. This guy's texting, hey, it was great meeting you. It was great seeing you. Let's get back together, whatever. That's seduction, brother.
Oh, doesn't she have an opportunity to say, actually, beat it, pal. I'm married.
I guess, yeah. I would think I would be more disappointed with her than the Eagles,
yeah, like,
buddy.
Why, but you know, it's not it's the wife. Like, she's to blame. She can easily say, "I'm married." Take a lap, but
no.
She opens the door, and she's the jackass. He should divorce her.
Well, I'm sure he is. I don't think it's going to be contingent on them staying together. I would think, but anyway, that's just such a random story. It's a weird story.
It's a goofy story.
Yeah. We'll dig deeper into that. We'll get Rick Westhead on that. See what Rick can dig up and
get back to us. We don't need him doing that.
Marcellus,
my name will pop up.
Marcellus Wiley later in the hour. Cowboys spanking Washington last night. Bills hosting the Patriots. Rob Gronkowski will be back in Western New York, born and raised. It's a
what
big game
that,
for the Bills.
What do you think?
Gronk's quote when some guy asked him, he's like, "Have you ever jumped and broken a table?" He's like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Where?" He goes, "Family stuff."
Family.
So it's like backyard barbecues. Gronk and his buddies and family are breaking tables.
Because his brothers are animals too, aren't they?
He's got four brothers, I think. Five Gronkowski mutants. His dad is a beast.
And you know they're all just wrestling. And
they all played football, and a couple, I think, played baseball. Like, there were a few that made it to the NFL.
Is it Billy Madison where it's like O'Doyle rules? That's them.
That's exactly what they are. The original O'Doyles. The Gronkowskis in the Western New York area growing
up. Just bullying their way around.
Well, Leaf fans are kind of bullying their way into tickets throughout Western Canada this whole week, and I'm quite intrigued to see how many will be in the building tomorrow.
There'll be a lot in Vancouver.
I think there's more transplanted Torontonians in Vancouver than there would be in Edmonton or Calgary. Because of the population.
I think
Vancouver's
Calgary,
a bigger center than...
When I played for the Flames the first time around in like 2001, the Flames were a team that was struggling a lot, so we had a lot of transient fans as far as... because the oil business was getting really big. So you had a lot of people moving to Calgary. So if we played against the Canucks, the Oilers, the Leafs, half the building would be fans of the other team. So we'd get scored on and the crowd would go nuts. But now, I mean, the Leafs have been that like that there for years because the fan base is so big. But in Calgary, there was a lot of transplanted Leaf fans. I was telling you off air, because of the oil patch up in Fort McMurray, a lot of the grit grinders, the actual workers, live in Edmonton and go up. So there'd be a lot of the rig pigs would go and spend their money and get seats last night, per se.
Oh, then, lots of Jersey guys, a lot of jerseys being sold, a lot of Leaf fans in attendance.
One of my good friends is a rig pig. He's a great guy. I don't think he's a Leafs fan, though.
Well, that's a shame. Well, he should be now. They're the third best team in the league, according to the standings. Right behind Tampa.
And Vancouver's going to be, there'll be lots of people.
Oh, there'll be
there.
A ton of Leaf fans there tomorrow.
A ton. It might be more than Edmonton, man.
Well, let's head out to Vancouver and catch up with our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. You were in Calgary on Tuesday night. You were in Edmonton last night. which building had more Leaf fans based on your estimation?
Calgary.
Really?
For sure. Yeah, I thought, like, well, put it this way, maybe it wasn't Calgary, but it sounded like Calgary was almost like a home game. Like, at least there was dueling fans going back and forth last night. And maybe it was the way that the game went in Calgary, but there was no dueling.
Yeah.
It was like Gold Leafs go and there was nothing coming back.
Yeah, Calgary was flat in that game. You're right, where Edmonton made a push last night. And obviously, you know what we're going to talk to you about, but Mulls has queued up a couple things here for you. Give it a listen and then give some reaction here.
This is unbelievable. Chris Russell shoots this into his own net. Watch Russell spin to clear the puck, and he drills it through the legs of Brossoit. Oh, my goodness. He's got two goals in the period, one at each net.
What a hell of a shot, wasn't it?
What is up with broadcasters when something really, really bad happens? Does it just come to your mind, oh, my goodness? Because there's...
Well,
we have
because
a bunch
what I
of
wanted
them,
to
we?
Say I would have lost my job for.
Well, that's true. I think we all pointed that
Are
out earlier.
Are you kidding me? Like I've never seen that. Like, I'm not like that. I've seen guys, the closest I think I could relate to that would be when Marc Bergevin grabbed the puck and threw it into the net.
And it counted, didn't it?
I was 20 feet away from there because I was in that game. I was backing up that night. Yeah,
That was so... unbelievable that, like, you know, obviously you know what he's trying to do, but he's actually caught it. Like, what are you going to do with it?
I completely blanked out on that. I forgot that I was a part of that game. Yeah, he grabbed it and went to throw it over the net and buried it top shelf. It got caught behind the middle bar. That's how nobody knew where the puck was.
But last night, I know there's, like, panic and things are happening fast, but he drilled that.
Yeah.
I guess he's, you know, obviously shooting it in the corner, but if he was shooting it in the corner, he missed by 35 feet.
Well, that's true. I mean, honestly, there's a conversation to be had on whether or not the goaltender should have been ready for it because it was a 50-50 battle. But even if he was ready and even if Kadri won that battle, Kadri could not have gotten off a better shot. Like, there's no way. There's no way no. Kadri would have gotten off a better shot. Russell got off the perfect shot.
The Kadri's reaction was what told me. Like, it looked funny, but Kadri's reaction told me that he didn't shoot it. Like, just his disbelief that it was in the net was, I don't know, like you said, he's like, I don't even really know what happened. And then it's kind of funny. Everybody's got their hands up in the air, and nobody really knows who to go congratulate. Like, do you go and pat Russell on the head?
Yeah.
Like, that was a tough... And I'll tell you, like, I know Russell takes a lot of flack, especially out in Edmonton, and most of it has to do with his contract, which, if any one of us gets overpaid, I'm sure we're all going to say, okay, we'll take it. And he probably is overpaid, but he played a hell of a game last night. He was really good, in particular because they don't have Sakara. They find out just before the game that Larson can't go. And so Russell's got to play way bigger minutes than he has been for the rest of this or for prior in the season. And he screwed up. And I would be more concerned if I were the Oilers about the way they played the first period. That game could have been 8-0 or 8-1. They got one. It could have been 8-1 in the first period. That kid hung in there pretty good because he looked pretty stinky on Moore's goal, and then after that he stopped the 2-on-0. We showed he had 8 of 16 shots that came from between the hash marks.
Yeah,
in the first period. Like, that's hard to do. Edmonton was brutal in the first period.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, I think the Leafs came ready to play, but for me it was more Edmonton was just a dumpster fire. Like, they were handing pucks over, they were out of position, they looked so discombobulated, and then they storm back and play really well in the second. I think they played maybe better than the Leafs in the third. I think both teams kind of had their chances, and it got to a point where they both kind of nodded at each other, and they're like, let's each get a point. We'll play for two. We're not in the same conference. Who cares? And then Russell goes ahead and scores on his own net. And from my standpoint, you heard all the right things, like, it's a moral defeat, and we can grow off this, and we battled back, and it was great the way we played in the second and third. I don't feel like that's genuine whatsoever. I think when you battle back the way that they did, considering how horrible their season's been, and then a guy on their own team scores on his own net. Like, that just screams lip hitting the floor. Like, woe is me. This is the season that we knew we were having because of the way everything started. I don't know if they can honestly bounce back after that.
Well, I think they can. The problem is where they've got to bounce back from, and they don't have Talbot, and they're not going to have Larson for at least a week. Like, they can't afford another week, another week, another week. Like, they're too far, you know, they're getting too far behind. And so, well, I guess they're already too far behind. I was thinking last night, like, man, Russell is going to feel like crap this morning. Like, you know, I'm sure he didn't sleep very well last night. And then he's going to go to the rink and, oh, man, here we go again. You know, he's going to have to answer most of the same questions. He's going to, until you get on the ice and get to work again, you know, I can't imagine he's feeling very good about things right now.
Well, it's on every top 10 list for the next 100 years. Yeah, scored on your own net. That's what it is.
Him, Brian McCabe, years. Patrick Laine, the soccer guys that...
And then Steve Smith
actually,
is number
you know,
one.
Laine yeah. was a good shot, too, wasn't it?
No, he ripped it.
Yeah,
like,
Laine
like
got good.
Low, far side.
He got good wood on that, too.
14 like, inches off the ice, and he buried it.
Yeah, perfect spot. Yeah,
that's the shot you teach your kids, except it's into the other net.
Yeah.
What did you like make of Matthews last night, Ray?
I didn't think he was good. I thought he was okay.
See, I thought he was good. I thought it was his best game back from injury.
Yeah, I you know what? I think I got a pretty high bar when I watch him play. And I expect him to create a couple of chances that other people can't create. And I didn't really, you know, I didn't see that necessarily. I guess I was probably like most people. There were the couple plays that McDavid made there were, you know, when he danced around the zone and Polak tripped him. And then when he got outside of Hainsey. I mean, like, that's what I went to go look at. I mean, that was spectacular stuff. The stuff that Matthews did, I thought he played pretty good. He doesn't quite look there yet for me.
Well, maybe it's an indictment on the way he's been playing. If we think that's the best one since he's been back, maybe it really hasn't
well,
been good
what it is,
before
I,
prior.
But Ray, you said it. The bar is very high. I thought in the first period, and you pointed out a couple things, or maybe it was Pooley that pointed out a couple things, like to me that... You know, the spinorama on the wall, walked off the wall, had a couple nice little give and go, created some stuff. That looked like kind of the Matthews we expected. But I thought his energy level kind of dropped the rest of the game. Like, he was still trying to create and stuff, but he just didn't look as sharp on pucks. And that's more a credit to, I thought Edmonton actually brought it up a gear, so he was actually having to defend and going
head-to-head.
Yeah, he
had a pretty good quote, though. Chasing McDavid around is exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, like it's one thing to play head to head against a really good line, Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, but when McDavid's there, you know, and your responsibility is to stay, you know, between him and the net as much as you can, that's a lot of work. And the more work you have to put in that fashion, is less that you're gonna get offensively. You're just not gonna have it's not gonna be the same.
Ray, what do you make of the Oilers? Is that the game where it's... We talked about it before, and Jamie said... Or you guys already asked this?
Yes.
I think I know where it's going. Fork in the road?
Yeah, the fork in the road.
Rock bottom?
Rock bottom, or you move on. You
oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there it is, Ray. It's been a while.
That's why analysts say, oh, my goodness, because they can't believe what happened.
So we already went there, huh?
Yeah, he gave us a pretty good answer on that.
506.
Were you watching golf highlights?
I was.
there's the golf channel.
I'm not even there, and I know you're watching what's going on at the Hero Challenge.
Oh, yeah. Well, they only show one guy now, so it's pretty simple. I actually feel bad for the other guys in the field.
Charlie Hoffman, 9-under.
They've shown his face twice.
That's just
I think if Charlie wore his hat differently, they would show him more.
I agree.
The trucker hat is not going to get
Hayes just
TV
thinks
much.
He's the biggest nerd on tour. He's like, who is this guy up there? Charles Hoffman.
What, do you have 12 birdies today?
It was ridiculous. Finished with 5.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, but you're right. Nobody else is watching other than the one fellow there.
Nobody cared about Tommy Fleetwood yesterday. Nobody cares about Charlie Hoffman today.
And the other fella was pretty good again.
Tiger played really well. Played really well.
But you know, it's so all that happened in the game last night you know, just to make a parallel, like the game went on and yet everybody was there to see the two guys. Yet there's still really great stuff that happens outside of it. And I guess that's, you know, however you grab the attention, whether McDavid and Matthews get too much scrutiny or not, they're among the best players in the world. And so if that's what gets the eyeballs, they're great. But the other guys have, like, it's remarkable what some of these guys can do. Like, Nylander was fantastic last night. What did he play, 11 minutes?
Yeah, barely 11.
Yeah.
He seemed like he had the puck the whole time. Like, so I'm like, man, there's sure lots of, you know, I don't know if Edmonton has anywhere near, as much as they'd like to think, they don't have anywhere near the depth of skill that the Oilers, or that the Leafs have.
So does Nylander get a bounce up, or does he stay on the fourth line, or does Babb say, oh, I liked you on the fourth line, you got 3 points, or does he earn the right to go back up to playing with Austin Matthews?
I think he stays right where he is to start tomorrow. Yeah, you know, that's, you know, we'll find you maybe a few more minutes. There's the problem. There's going to be one guy all the time that's going to get it in the teeth. And the two guys on this trip that have done zip have been Bozak and Van Riemsdyk. Haven't even really noticed either of them. But those guys aren't up for debate. You know, like, they're not the guys that are going to be scrambling around for ice time yet. I mean, Bozak earlier, but Nylander's not going to play center to get more minutes. That's not going to happen right now. Maybe they move Marleau in there. But, you know, like, it's going to be tough to find all those guys enough minutes so that they're not, you know, not unhappy with what, you know, what they get. 10 or 11 minutes, I know it went well last night, and that'll help him, you know, put that, you know, in the back seat. But, man, 11 minutes is not... Can you imagine, if you're scoring and you're playing 11 minutes, you're going to be like, this is a joke.
Well, especially when the dollars are kind of sitting out there, you know?
Yeah, this is a bad year to be playing 11 minutes.
Well, I always wanted 18 minutes. Min, like, give me 18 and I can do my job.
Yeah, there's the age-old argument, right? Do more and you'll get more minutes. And you say, give me more minutes and I'll get more done. And
yeah, but didn't he do enough the last game to say, kind of, I did that in 11. Don't I deserve a shot at 17 or 18 and see what I can do?
But where's it going to go? Where's it going to be?
I don't know.
Like, at whose expense? That's the problem.
For some reason, I think Mike Babcock likes it where it's like, I'm having so much, this team's third in the league in points right now overall. And I got these guys on edge. Not all of them are happy and they all want more. For some reason, I think that he kind of likes that element to it.
Well, one of his great lines is, you know, you gotta grab a bigger chunk of cheese. He loves that line, and that's basically what he's telling these guys. You know, you want to play more, you want more ice. Well, you got to play better. You got to grab it from somebody else. And you know, coaches love when there's some kind of internal pressure. But I do know that I felt best or I played best when there was comfort, like when I knew I was not that I was gifted or guaranteed a spot, but I knew that, okay, this is my role, this is what I have to do, and if I do that, I'm going to play. And I don't know if they have that right now. And that's the way it is. I mean, you try and accumulate talent as best you can. They've done that, and they got a hell of a team. They've had, you know, they've put together, you know, I don't think they played anywhere near as well yesterday as they did in Calgary. And they're going to come out. Vancouver's been on the road for 10 days, had a really successful road trip. They win in Nashville last night. Daniel Sedin gets his 1,000th point, so I'm sure they'll have some kind of ceremony before the game. And it's not going to be an easy game for them. And everybody out here, of course, is pissed off because the game starts at 4:00. They can't. They just can't get their head around. I don't know why not, but they can't get their head around that.
Quick little yes guy, no by guy going to Vancouver. The Sedins Hall of Famers. We had that discussion on the desk last night.
Yes guy. For me, it's not. I don't even think it's much of a debate.
Wow, there was a firm no guy from a certain guy. Not going to mention his name.
Quizmaster?
No. He does drive us all nuts, but that's not his name.
Well, geez, that could be several people.
I would say yes, Coffee. Guy. I think were they on that 06 Sweden team? Did they get a gold medal that year?
Yeah.
They were on that team?
I think they've been consistent.
I think it's a yes guy.
I think it's a yes
guy.
If Bernie Federko's in, they're in.
I know. I just look at the criteria. Like, that's the problem, is where's the line? Where's the imaginary line that they talk about in this room? That's the truth for me. Because
okay, here's another one. Dave Andrichuk's in. Henrik, I believe, won an Art Ross trophy.
Yep,
I believe he won an MVP.
Yeah, he won a Hart as well, yep.
Wow, he did.
So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, in. You know, like he's they're over 1,000 points. There's less than 100 guys in the history of the game that have done that. But if they're in, like, what about Pierre Turgeon?
Yeah, Sneaky Pete.
You got 1,000 points. You know, like you start getting, what about Alexander Mogilny? You get into these, it's, you know, so like I say yes for sure, and I guess it's because I've watched them, you know, play their whole careers, but man, you get into some real gray spots in a hurry as to guys that should they be in or should they not be in.
Here's a scenario, Ray. I mean, is it, would it be of your opinion, and I wouldn't want to put you on a spot, but is Henrik...
But he's going to.
Well, I'm
going to
put... Go ahead. Henrik seems to me like he's been a better player than Daniel. Maybe I'm wrong.
I would agree.
Okay.
And I would always default to the centerman.
Okay, so there you go.
Over the winger.
What you're asking is, are you going to throw Henrik in?
Could Henrik get in without Daniel?
I don't think so. I just... They're so intertwined. I think they go together. You know, like that kind of... That's what it kind of feels like to me.
I could see, like, Henrik being like, declined. If Daniel doesn't come in with me, I'm not accepting.
Not, but Daniel got his 1,000th last night. He got his 1,000th point last night. It just
yeah, Henrik's a couple. Henrik's, I think, 50 in front of him, something like that.
Yeah,
they're both getting in. I think also, and Ray, you would know the city and the market and the team's history better than I would. But for me, I've got them as the two best Canucks of all time. I mean, would Bure be ahead of them? Would Linden be ahead of them?
No, not Linden. Bure maybe. For his spectacular thing. I would say Daniel and Henrik are probably thought of a lot in the same way that Matt Sundin is in Toronto.
Yeah.
Somewhat overlooked, somewhat taken for granted, for as great a player as they are and as great a player as Matt's was. I kind of feel a similarity there between them.
Yeah, I could see that. And the reason I bring that up is if you've got a team that's been around for over 40 years, probably the two best players in team history should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, there's a pretty good chance they're very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the fans of Vancouver are very proud of their history here.
No?
No, I mean, like, right from the second that they got the franchise and then they lost the game of chance and they lost Gilbert Perreault and got Dale Tallon instead. They talk about how they've not won one. Like last year, they go down in the lottery. They're like, seriously? They were thinking maybe they had a chance to move up. No, they went backwards. Year before, they went backwards. It's almost like if they're in a lottery pick, people expect them to be the one team that goes south.
Well, that was the least before Matthews. I mean, the same mentality,
yep.
And there have been similarities. You just mentioned the Sedins and Sundin here, and I'd be curious to find out the reaction of this Brock Besser kid, who's more than a point a game. He's got 13 goals in, I think, 22 games. Like,
Leighton Keller, who? This guy is the real deal.
Like,
man.
For me, it's Besser or Barzal now, the two rookies.
Yeah. This Besser can shoot. But let's not forget that Sergachev's all right, playing all right, too, in Tampa.
No
you can't
kidding.
Just look at points.
Yeah, you remember the one year Johnny Gaudreau had all those points, and all of a sudden it was like, Aaron Ekblad, you're the rookie of the year. And everyone was like, oh. Because it was like everyone, Johnny Gaudreau, slam dunk.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, there hasn't been excitement about a player in Vancouver like there is about Besser in a long, long time.
This guy can flat out shoot it, huh, Ray? Like he can score a goal.
Oh, like the thing I love about him, he never, ever, ever looks panicked.
No.
Like he's not a great skater, but he goes fast enough.
Yeah.
And when the other guy gets the puck, you know, like yesterday when Nylander got the puck. I tried to show it on the highlight. Like, Matthews went. He was smart enough to go at the same speed, so he kept the passing lane open. He didn't get, like, so excited, and he went too far, and then Nylander's got no pass lane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just an, I think, like an innate sense to know where and how to get around the ice.
Without the physicality, he looks a little bit like Cam Neely, just the ability to get open, doesn't move that fast, but get him near the net, he's going
to
score.
But to me, he's got a release like Brett Hull. Like, I don't know if you get, like, for the mechanics of it.
He doesn't talk one hundredth of Brett Hull.
Right.
But he's very similar in style of play.
The release.
Like this guy is, he says, but even his style, like he doesn't, I mean, guys are different now. They play, you know, a more complete game maybe than, not maybe, they have to play a more complete game than we did and certainly than Hulley did. But when Hulley had to play defense, he could play defense. He just chose not to. And then when he got it, he could do things that other people couldn't. And I'm not saying Besser is Hull, but he can shoot the puck and get, like, look at the two goals he scored yesterday. They're both different. They're both really patient. They're both really good hands. One of them was that release that was just sick. He drags it around the D's feet and he beats the goalie on the blocker side. And the other's that little 10-foot breakaway and he, you know, forehand through the five hole like that. He's slick too. They've got a good one here. And, you know, he was the 22nd or 3rd pick in the draft that year too.
Jimmy Benning making things happen.
By the way, I think they said today, Brian, out here in Vancouver, that highest rated show of the year when you came on the radio here.
Did you hear my take? It was actually very, very good.
Did you go on
spot on Van Radio?
Oh, yeah. Accepted invitation.
Yeah, no, I was eating. I had to eat lunch. I won't get out of the car.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm like, I'll listen to them in 2 hours. It'll be the, you know, whatever nonsense. It'll be the same thing. But they were very. They said he'll talk all things Leafs, and I'm like, oh,
how about that?
Seriously,
Mr. Toronto,
did they ever pump your tires?
Well, yeah, wait till you carve them in Vancouver, then you get fired from Vancouver Radio like I did. Your attitude is not what we're all about here in Vancouver. Okay.
One less radio you got to do.
That's right, I just said thank you very much.
I was going to take shots about that 4 p.m. start tomorrow, but they were doing it. Like they're Vancouver, and I understand
this
why.
This makes them sick.
Oh, and it would make me sick too. It really would.
The
it would be disgusting.
Why, does it? Why? What? This is what I don't get. The game's over at 6:30. Go have a time.
It's
after.
The principle, right? It's the principle that everyone,
we're changing our schedule, our babysitters, our everything because of those Leafs.
Because of Brian Hayes having
it's
a routine.
Leafs.
Yeah, that's what it is. If it was any other team, they'd be like, this is great. Dinner afterwards, party. If it was any other team, but it's Toronto, so it's not accepted. You cannot accept it. That's the truth.
Yeah, you're right. Even if it makes total sense. Like Sunday Night Football, they flex the schedule. They change it for in-season for, oh, gee, those two teams we scheduled stink. So let's get a couple of good teams on at the money-making time, the Sunday night time. Well, the Leafs are the biggest market, the biggest draw, and they want them on at 7 o'clock Eastern. There you go. Conversation's over.
It's simple.
Bad break, Vancouver.
Yep, it's simple.
That's the way it is.
Enjoy it out there, buddy. We'll do it again Monday at 5 p.m.
Yeah, I have to go. Cammy just pointed there's a couple of shelves that I actually have. These are going to be the first things I've done in the house.
Yeah,
this is like remarkable.
Yeah, it's the first impression. Do not screw that up.
Oh, he's got the lawnmower in the kitchen.
No. The hooks are already in. I just got to take the wood part of the shelf and put it on the hook. Even I can't screw this up.
Take pictures or we won't believe you.
Yeah, good point.
See you, buddy.
Later. Have a good weekend, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Marcellus Wiley later in the hour. Dregs in studio. Friday Five Pack is back. We'll do that in the 6 p.m. hour. New week in the NFL kicking off last night. Cowboys, second straight Thursday game at home. Feels like the fans in Dallas have kind of checked out on the season, too. There were not, like, to begin that game, there was, like, nobody in the stadium. It was weird. And they spanked Washington, and that's a divisional rival. But it ultimately, I think, is a meaningless game and a meaningless win because the NFC is too deep. I don't think they're going to get back into the playoff picture. They're clearly not going to catch Philly. The division's done. But you look at the wild card spots, Atlanta, Carolina. I think Detroit's got a chance of getting a 10-6. So I think Dallas effectively is done, and it's a fan base that may have just said, forget it. I'll see you next year.
Yeah, checked out.
Check, please. Let's see what Jerry Jones can do for me this offseason.
What about your Bills?
It's like both leagues. We've talked about it before. There's the five or six at the top, and the rest are just, you're either fighting for your existence, fighting possibly to sneak into a playoff spot, and then probably getting dummied at the first round. Like in both sports leagues, Brian, can you think of one team that could do a Carolina Hurricanes and sneak in and do damage? NFL and NHL.
I can't off the top of my head right
now. I can't
either.
I can't say, man, if that team gets it together and that maybe Washington Capitals with their goaltending, if Braden Holtby goes legend.
I think Washington's a team that can be in there.
If we're basing it on the standings today, there are teams in the NHL. Like Anaheim could have a great second half and be a cup contending team.
Yeah, because you get healthy.
Getzlaff is back. Kessler's back. They got a great defense.
Exactly.
Like, you know, that's a team that could.
Yeah, but can the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's just the Buffalo Bills. It's like,
yeah,
not happening.
I'm with you. I don't see it happening. Here's Marcellus Wiley joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline, our NFL analyst, longtime NFL player, former Bill. What's happening, Marcellus?
Oh, doing great, man. Fingers crossed for those Bills up there, see what they can do if they can get into these playoffs.
Well,
we were just talking about that. It's like, do you see a team that could maybe sneak in and do damage? Or we were talking about the comparisons of the NHL and the NFL, where it's like, there's five or six teams, and after that, everyone's just kind of scrambling to stay relevant.
You're right. It is top-heavy. So if you look at it, certain teams just know that they don't have a chance, and certain teams just want to get a chance to figure that out. And I think the Buffalo Bills don't look like they're formidable, but the NFC is just basically two teams, Pittsburgh versus, obviously, the Patriots. And the NFC is a little more Minnesota, you talk about the Rams, you talk about Atlanta's a team that I would say be careful and watch how they're surging. But all those things, you're right. It doesn't seem like a lot of teams, once they get in there, are going to have a fair chance to get those top ones.
It's a great point about Atlanta. They're 7-4. They were in the Super Bowl a year ago, up 28-3 with like 3 minutes left in the third quarter. So what would be stopping them from going on a run?
Yeah, I think what will stop them is the lack of balance. It's just interesting that they're starting to find their balance. Devontae Freeman has to get healthy, but with him in tow and what they can do with Tevin Coleman, that's when they're at their best. Not to put all the pressure on Matt Ryan if they go out there and throw the ball to Julio Jones, who had a tremendous game last week, but you got to see the consistency. But the points are starting to add up. That's a couple of weeks in a row. Seattle, obviously, a couple of weeks ago for that team. They're starting to say, we have that moxie, that mojo that they had in the Super Bowl. Like you said, up 25 points on the Patriots. Somewhere deep down, there's still a great level of confidence in this team to do some damage this year.
With Marcellus Wiley, again, Washington, they got beat up pretty badly last night. Their season's been over for a while. I mean, they're 5-7. It's done. So I think in that market, the conversation continues to revolve around Kirk Cousins and whether or not they're going to re-sign him, whether or not he wants to come back. I believe they can franchise tag him, but there's been talk about this for a while. Will he move on? He's not going to San Francisco because they've got Garoppolo now. What's your read on the Kirk Cousins Washington Redskins situation?
Yeah, he's not hurting his market in terms of making money. He's going to make money somewhere, but I don't think it's in Washington. They're not winning in their division with him. They're not beating the Cowboys, which is obviously a story rivalry with him. So when you start to add that up, you start to realize, why do we need him at 25-plus million when this is going to be a quarterback draft? Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold and other guys who may drop to the mid, later first round, where they can get a chance to draft more. They can move up to grab one of those star quarterbacks. So you can get a guy under a rookie wage scale, $4 or $5 million a year, that world, versus a guy at $25 million that can't beat to a rival. You can't really win the games in your division. I think that's going to be the conversation. So, yeah, he gets paid, but I think it's going to be somewhere else outside of Washington.
What is your take on this Eli Manning just gong show in New York? I mean, how does Ben McAdoo, how does he go up the chain and even get permission to do something like this? There's so many questions involved with the actual issue. Is he coming back? Is McAdoo coming back? It's a mess.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't think it was as difficult to go up the chain as people are thinking. He obviously had to support someone with power because he couldn't make that move. This team, 2-9, you can't make that move unless someone says, a silent agreement, or overtly they agree with you. So Eli's been in decline maybe the last 5 years, out of four of the last 5 years losing seasons. QBR declined the last 4 years consecutively. This is a guy who's won two Super Bowl MVPs. We love him. Outside of that, he hasn't won a playoff game. And I think that the NFL taught me to think with my brain and not my heart. And I think right now a lot of compassion is pouring out for him because of the equity that he deserves and he earned as a two-time Super Bowl MVP. But the NFL stands for not for long, and what have you done for me lately? And even with Odell Beckham Jr. healthy the last few years, he's still been in steady decline. So that adds up to a place where, do you want to pay a 37-year-old quarterback next year, or do you want to turn the page? I think they're in that mode of decision, and Geno Smith and Davis Webb will slightly determine that, and this draft coming up will determine that. But I think the writing's on the wall for Eli. I think he's played his last days as a Giant.
Thank you, Marcellus. Always appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care, brother.
There's Marcellus Wiley joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 20% plus. Receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. MapleToyota.com. I'm with him on that. I think Eli's done in New York. I know Peter King was reporting that you shouldn't jump to that conclusion. There's a chance that these two sides reconcile, but I can't picture it. I think Eli's done. I think the Giants have concluded all the way up to ownership that they're going to move on from the guy.
Well, Marcellus just said it. Maybe Eli's done, too. He's been the declining player for four of the last 5 years. So any team that's looking at him, what do they think? Oh, all of a sudden, magically, he's going to rebound and be awesome next year?
But that's the NFL with quarterbacking in a nutshell, the NHL with goaltending in a nutshell.
What, just desperation and someone will take a chance?
Absolutely. As much as your mind is looking at it and saying, this guy can't play anymore, your heart is saying, I want to believe he can because I know the guy. I
just give this guy some protection and he can get the job done.
Exactly. I've seen him win two Super Bowls. He's a Hall of Famer more than likely.
Right.
My guy can't play. I think I got the offensive line, the running game, the weapons, the defense. Plug in Eli, tell him to control the ball, don't turn it over, play big in big games, and we can win. That's how GMs psych themselves into signing guys. That's how guys that have been done for years.
If you're going to go ahead and do that, it better be short term, unless you're flat out nuts.
It would be. At his age, he's not getting anything. I mean, they may structure. You know how the NFL contracts work. They may give him 3 years or whatever, but it'll be all about bonus and incentives. And if they need to cut bait, they'll cut bait. But I don't get the impression like Eli's ready to walk away. Like, I think if Peyton Manning could still throw the ball, he'd still be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton didn't want to stop playing. No, his neck and his injuries told him he can't play anymore.
Guys don't want to stop playing, but they take a good hard look in the mirror and they realize, first of all, physically, you're right. You're banged up and you're not going to be able to make it through the season. That factors in. But you also, if you're declining skills, you don't want to embarrass yourself. It's not about going out there making money because all these guys have 100 sheets in the bank anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to be known as a shell of your former self. Remember Marty Brodeur, right near the end of his career?
St. Louis Blue?
He was grinding away, and like it didn't... I didn't want him going out that way.
Because
it was
the uniform and the performance. It was like, no.
So difficult to watch. Jordan in Washington, Brett Favre at the end in Minnesota. Like, Favre started 297 games in a row. One of the most prestigious streaks in pro sports, and then his body finally broke down. He couldn't start a game, and it was like, "What? Why did he even play?"
Right.
Like, you know, why couldn't you just
that
shut it down?
That dragged on for years, too.
Well,
the Jets and then Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean.
And it was like,
Brett was a bit indecisive. Like, he was retiring and then coming back. And listen, remember at the time when everyone's like, forget this Rodgers kid. Who the hell is he? Favre is the legend. You got to play him.
Right.
And McCarthy and Ted Thompson were like, no, the kid is playing. We know what this guy's all about. Mm-hmm. And they made the right decision. Aaron Rodgers, as much as I love Brett Favre, my favorite football player ever, at their primes, in the zone, Rodgers is absolutely better than Favre. Rodgers might be the greatest, like, most talented quarterback of all time.
Really?
He's that good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think I'm alone in that take. It's a biased take to an extent, but I don't think I'm alone. All right, Darren Dreger coming up. Friday Five Pack is back. The top five people that hate the Leafs. And there are many options.
Lots of layers to that.
Yes. So we'll get to that. Get back into Tiger. The Raptors are in action. Corey Joseph back in town as the Pacers take on the Raps down at the ACC. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Darren Dreger, our Hockey Insider in studio in the final hour. Get back into Tiger, and Tiger performed well today. Round two, he survived. He got through 18. He's played 36. He's 7-under through 36. I'll take that. I mean, I'll be watching him over the weekend.
Got to. I want to see the red shirt on Sunday. But I can't see his game holding up. You could see some little things coming down the stretch where it's like, I haven't done this in a while.
Well, he bogeyed on 18, and it was kind of an ugly bogey. And
ugly par on the par 5 when he was greenside in 2, where it's like, just get that up and in. He rifled a putt 15, 20 feet by the hole, a la Brian Hayes.
That's what I was saying yesterday, man, when he chunked that one chip.
Just chili chunking stuff.
And some guy, you know, a guy who listens and we interact over the years, and we have, and he wrote back, he's like, well, what did you expect him to shoot, like 15 under?
Well, what I expect is any golfer, regardless of the level you're at, if you're not sure about your short game, you pull out a putter.
Well, exactly. That's my, dude, I will
you
putt
with a hybrid, you putt with a 3-wood, you putt with your putt. You don't start chili chopping stuff around the green.
Anything from 25 yards in, I'm putting. I'm not even kidding. If it's on the fairway, I am putting, because I do not trust that I'm not going to skull
something. Well, I don't know about that distance, but everybody says your best putt is always going to end up, or your worst putt's probably going to be a lot better than your worst chip, because your worst chip can go a foot.
Dude, you don't lose a putt. You don't hit a putt, and then you're like, I think it landed here.
You never know, though, man.
You don't ask for a line after you've hit a putt. Do you see where that went in? All right, we're inviting everyone to TSN 1050's Party at the Pine on December 10th when McDavid takes on Matthews for the fourth installment. Matthews 3-0 versus McDavid early in their careers. Is. Bring out your friends and meet everyone from TSN 1050 and catch what should be a great game. We're also looking for 38 VIPs who have a shot at leaving the Pine with hockey tickets or a trip for two to Vegas for Toronto's New Year's Eve matchup against the Golden Knights. You can win VIP tickets on Leafs Lunch and Overdrive every weekday between now and the big party. Again, December 10th at the Pint. So Mullen's going to hit the really cheesy, really corny soundbite. I'll hit the roulette table, and we'll let you know which number you got to be when we open up the phones.
Hit it.
Oh, yeah.
Black 10. Caller number 10 at 416-870-1050. Caller 10 at 416-870-1050 picks up a VIP ticket to hang out with the TSN 1050 crew December 10th down at the Pint. Round 2, Leafs Oilers. If it's anything like last night, it'll be a spectacularly fun evening, and Chris Russell will score on his own net again. I might throw him into the toilet bowl on Tuesday. I might hang a toilet seat around his neck.
Don't do it, buddy.
All right. Dregs in studio, Friday five-pack, Raps in action, NFL action, lots to get into. Final hour for the week up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.